What's up, Fanatics? It's the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. I'm Jared Stansberry, Rob Gray. It's the seniors. It's a Monday. We're chilling at my apartment up in Ames. What's going on, man?
Not much. My friend, I've got my coffee, a good dark roast. You've got your Mountain Dew.
Baja Blast. Don't just say I've got my. I've just got Mountain Dew.
Oh, you've got Artisan Mountain Dew. It's like the craft brew version of Mountain Dew.
I suppose so. I don't know. I just bought a 12-pack of it. It was like $3 at Walmart.
There you go.
As always, the seniors brought to you by our good friends over at Performance Concrete and Polishing, one of our favorite sponsors here at CycloneFanatic.com. They're going to make your concrete surfaces look absolutely amazing. And Rob, I've been thinking, I just got a dog.
Mm-hmm.
I've put her all over my Twitter account. She's a good dog.
Beautiful.
And I just wish that there was a place where I could take her that would be, easy to clean. Mm-hmm. I know that there's not going to be stuff all over it that's going to be distracting her.
Exactly.
That's going to be maybe get her sick.
Yeah.
If I gave my guy McKinley a call down at Performance Concrete Polishing, 515-202-6706, check out their showroom in Urbandale, or you can check them out online at PerformanceConcretePolishing.com. They are the people that can get you set up with anything you need.
Fantastic.
So we've got quite a bit to talk about today.
Yeah, we do.
A top five that I'm not prepared for.
Yeah, well, it for all intents and purposes, it's sort of like summer mm-hmm. for us. And I know you're going to graduate shortly. Congrats again on that.
Thanks, man. Friday.
Awesome. Awesome. So we're into that mode a little bit. We're a little bit more free form,
We're just letting it go.
Freestyling a little bit.
Yeah, let's freestyle. I'll get you a beat.
Someday we'll do it.
Okay, sounds good. So the big news for Iowa State right now, Donovan Jackson, the junior college point guard from Iowa Western, decided to reaffirm his commitment to Iowa State after a weekend visit to Ames. Obviously big news for the Cyclones, getting that next point guard.
Absolutely, and a dynamic player. And, that backcourt is so good to begin with, Naz had the hardship, which was granted hardship in a true sense that he had to shut it down, and then the hardship waiver, as expected, was granted. Monte back, going to set that assist record, heighten his stock, get a little bit bigger. Get that outside shot to fall a little bit more. Hunt it a little bit more, which I thought he was good at doing that this past season. He definitely scored at a much higher rate. Take that up a little bit more. You got Matt Thomas. Came into his own last year for sure. And who knows who the rest of the supporting cast will absolutely end up being. We know Hollis Cook can shoot it. We know Jordan Ashton is transferring.
To Northern Iowa.
Yep. Play for Ben Jacobson.
Mm-hmm.
And the boys. So a great backcourt, a lot of unknowns in that front court and as we know, also a lot of flux there. With Emmanuel Malou and Cameron Lard and all that. But Jackson's a really, really, really nice player. I'm looking forward to watching him play.
Yeah, definitely. I think they've got some really good potential for some pretty interesting lineup combinations.
Yeah.
Some small ball.
Mm-hmm. And that can be – it can be successful. I know if you want to think big picture and what does it mean when you're facing a tournament-type setting, you feel like you need to have that really good inside presence. We don't know. Solomon Young. There are guys that can probably mix it up and get another Deontay Burton if his
– That's what I was just about to say.
How
about Monte Morris, Donovan Jackson – Naz Long and Matt Thomas spacing the floor from three.
Yeah.
And then you got Deontay Burton going to work, doing whatever he's doing, essentially playing the five.
Mm-hmm.
But, it comes down to whether or not, somebody can guard a bigger guy if somebody went big against them.
Yeah.
But
trying to imagine that lineup against Baylor.
Right.
With their athletic bigs. That would, we know Burton's an athletic freak, but that's what Baylor stocks in mm-hmm. their front line. Every year, that might get a bit ugly, but you can also possibly run them out of the gym.
Right.
And you want to talk about a three-point shooting team? This could be unbelievable. And I know that can be feast and famine. It has to be, because shooters are never, you know, you can be consistent, but you're never hot. No one's hot all the time.
Right.
So there'll be moments, I think, where it's just like, wow, did that really just happen? And then there's moments where it'll be like, wow, is this really happening? You know, where no one's hitting versus everyone hitting. But it's exciting to think about it. And a lot of interesting coaching possibilities. I mean, Prohm dabbled with used the small ball fairly effectively, I thought, in his first season. And we'll get a heavy dose of it, it looks like, in season number two.
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, there's like a lot of tension, I suppose, mm-hmm. surrounding the roster, but hopefully it'll be shaked out over the next couple weeks, I think.
Yeah, I think at least we'll get to a point where we know where we're at.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously the staff will know what they've got to work with, and then you identify needs for down the road. But, I mean, the caliber of talent in the guard court is, I mean, A+,
right,
in my opinion. So, I mean, when you've got that, and we know how the game has changed. I mean, back when I was your age, they said you can't be successful without a true post that can dominate. Well, you can be successful without a true post mm-hmm. now, let alone one that doesn't dominate. The guard play has taken over as the most important element, I think, for overall success. I mean, you can't get out rebounded 25 every game. You know,
right.
I mean, then you can't run. You can't do anything. But, I mean, if you're running and you've got guys like a Burton and, like, you know, anybody else that maybe can go get in there and snag a rebound. We know that Matt Thomas upped his rebound rate a lot. Even Monte did. And I think Naz could get in there and get a couple, too. The way they're coming off the basket, you speed the other team up. They're going to be, you know, shooting, you'd hope, long shots with long rebounds that your quick guys can get to, as opposed to the 6'8", 6'9", 6'10 guys. So very intriguing possibilities. I mean, I suppose if you want to take the glass half empty thing, it's also a little bit disconcerting because mm-hmm. you really have a lot of unknowns in terms of the talent that you might have at that, you know, front line, especially in terms of guarding the post and the drive. But I don't know. I'm excited about it, but we'll see how it all shakes out, like you said.
It's pretty interesting the way basketball in general has just – it's getting smaller.
Yeah.
You know? You don't have to be huge anymore.
Mm-hmm. What's interesting at the same time is because of that, you want big guards.
Right.
Whereas
– length. You want length.
And it, you know, Jacoby Long comes to mind in that case. Matt Thomas, to some degree, as well. I mean, he's fairly tall and lanky, athletic. But there used to be guys, you know, the Spud Webbs of the world that mm-hmm. were so short, and there still are, you know. I mean, but it's harder to have those guys on the court when you don't have a front line, which was traditional then, of 6'8", 6'8", 7 foot.
Right.
You know, and you it's just hard to have a guy. You need guys, you know, minimum 6 foot, 6'1", as your smallest guards, it mm-hmm. seemed like.
Yeah, definitely. Sorry, I blanked for a second.
That's all right. They got to keep football recruits keep coming in.
Yeah, I don't think
keeping
they got
busy.
They didn't get another one.
Yeah, but I mean, it's
since we recorded last.
Where are they at now? 10.
Yeah, 10. Yep.
And at this point last year,
they had 0.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I know this staff made – it was a big departure setting your sights on the next season. That was not something that Rhodes staff focused on
right.
as much. And, I mean, think about the hype that's been created. I mean, in retrospect, what if they had? What if they had focused more on that? Because this train, the hashtags, the storm is brewing, it would just come in regular spurts, you know, the lightning strike.
Mm-hmm.
And that builds momentum in fans' minds anyway, keeps the excitement level up, keeps the program in the news in a positive way because you've attracted someone. In this case, I think it's all 3 stars, which is solid. And we know, as you've written, where they're at in the recruiting rankings, which mm-hmm. is unreal. But again, volume is the main reason there, but quality too. The fact that you don't have 5 3 stars – for 2 3 2 stars and 2 2 no stars.
Yeah. Well, and I think, you know, as you see a team like Iowa State and they're up in the top 25 or whatever, like whatever like that, some of those four-star kids might see that, mm-hmm. and they're like, hey,
yeah,
what's going on at Iowa State? I need to check that out, you know?
Yeah,
I think I think that those rankings, you know, they don't really mean anything.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they mean something because kids look at that.
Yep.
You know?
It's like it's like coaches and Fred Hoiberg said it all the time, you know, the ranking, the different type of rankings, what the number next to your team name.
Right.
When you're playing doesn't matter. Well, it really does matter for perception, outside perception. And so if Iowa State's sitting at number 9, people across the country are like, whoa. You know, I was saying when they first started to journey back into the rankings, people were like, whoa, Iowa State, they haven't been, I haven't even seen them in the tournament for 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this is the same sort of deal. I mean, look, people joke that there are a few guys sitting around in rooms figuring out all these rankings, you know. So,
yeah.
You know, you always take them with a grain of salt. But kids don't, or, you know, young men don't. You know, they look at that because they're a part of the whole process,
right?
Whatever we want to call it. So they're like, wow, that their team's up there, you know, and looking at the teams around that they're around, and Nebraska, you know, and a lot of these teams have fewer commits as we've talked about.
Right.
But, yeah, that can't do anything, but, you know, at least, you know, make that ear open just a little bit wider when Matt Campbell and his staff reaches out to some of those even more high profile kids.
Yeah. Definitely. You want to move to our top five?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, you started off, because like I said, I'm not really ready.
Well, we didn't have a ton, and one is unsuitable for the podcast beyond the one we went to, but shout out to Adam Klein and Sean Wilson, I believe, mentioned the top five drinks or adult beverages, and we're getting to that time of year. Excuse me, where that, I guess it's always that time of year in college, but where those are to be enjoyed maybe a little bit more frequently. So we thought we'd go ahead and take that one up. It's, again, it's we're off-season podcast, so we don't have games to talk about, so we're going to talk drinks.
Yeah.
And I'll start with my number five. I believe one of them stipulated that Busch Light is not allowed, and I know that, you know, you don't have to honor that stipulation by any means.
Yeah, I don't plan to.
And, but I'll start with my number five, which is a specific brand of vodka called Chopin.
Okay.
It's true Polish vodka, true potato vodka, because you get vodka made from all kinds of stuff now. And any citrus paired with that, like a fresh squeezed grapefruit juice, I like because it's a little bit more bitter, a little bit more acid, a nice flavor, and the mm-hmm. vodka is really smooth and good. But obviously the old orange juice, the vodka and OJ is a good mix too. I'm partial to the true potato vodka. That's my number five.
My number five is Jack Daniel's Tennessee Honey.
Mm.
Just shot.
I would agree. I mean, I like whiskey, uh-huh. but as you know, I'm more of a, but I mean, not rye, not bourbon, but that's good stuff. Iowa Distilling Place out in Cumming.
Uh-huh.
They do some good stuff.
Yeah, we got a bottle right up there.
Is it the Port Finish?
I don't know.
Well, both of them are outstanding. Well, they might have other to celebrate getting through this podcast and our drinks.
Yeah. All right. So what's your number four?
My number four is a beer from Surly Brewing Company in Minneapolis. It's an IPA. You know, it's my favorite style
mm-hmm.
of brew, and it is a Todd the Axeman. First of all, what a fantastic name for a beer, but it is really, really good IPA. It's not through the roof by IPA standards in terms of alcohol by volume.
Uh-huh.
Can't remember what the IBU is or whatever, but I mean, it just a great tasting beer. Doesn't weigh you down. Like all IPAs, it's not something you could drink like a Busch Light, because the alcohol is usually at least 1.5 times, if not double, or more per 12-ounce serving. So Todd the Axeman. I know it's been around. Surly's been around and been talked about, you know, with a lot of praise, I think. But I just recently broadened out a little bit and tried that one and was very impressed.
my number four is, man, I don't even know. I know my top three, but I can't decide on what I want for my number four.
Scotch.
No.
Not scotch.
Definitely not scotch. I'll go with Bud Light.
Okay.
My second favorite beer.
Your slightly upscale version of Busch Light. What's the difference? What's the difference between Bud Light and Busch Light? Price?
Well, in this situation, it's that I just don't like it as much as Busch Light, okay. and I don't really drink that many things.
And Busch Light is actually more affordable,
right,
than Bud Light. So that's a win.
Yes,
that's
definitely.
That's a win that it appeals to your palate a bit more than its higher priced cousin.
I mean,
I'm
all about Anheuser-Busch, so how can I not be, you know?
You like those Belgians that own the company, right? Well, Cardinals.
I mean, that's what I'm saying.
That's a great tradition there. Harry Carey is my Cub fan, and he used to always end his broadcasts by saying, "I'm a Cub fan and I'm a Bud man and a Cub fan." I can't remember which order he put it. "And I hope you are too." That was awesome, and he could just do that. And I don't even know. I think they were being sponsored by Old Style, but Harry would throw out his Cub fan, Bud man motto all the time. And Harry, of course, was a legendary Cardinals broadcaster as well.
So yeah.
Lots of great calls there.
What's number three?
Number three, a classic drink called a mojito.
Okay.
Any rum will do probably. Yeah, I think probably any rum. The key for me is fresh mint, kind of pulverized, and infusing the beverage with that flavor, and also powdered stevia instead of sugar. I got to keep the sugar down a little bit for myself. Now, anyone else like your age, you know, go nuts on the sugar.
But uh-huh.
A good mojito, balanced, you know, good kick from the rum, and nice twist with the mint, and then the sweet. I find stevia to be sweet enough, but any type of sweetness will do. A mojito is a fantastic, fantastic patio, deck, party, beach drink.
It's really classy, I feel like.
Well, I
feel like you have to drink it in like a tall, slender glass.
That's frequently what's done. I'll tell you, when we're up at our cabin in Minnesota, my mother-in-law likes to make the mojitos because she grows the mint.
Oh, okay.
At home on Corning, and she brings a bunch of sprigs of it up, and we drink them out of red plastic Solo cups.
Oh, okay.
So any vessel.
Yeah.
Any vessel will work.
My number three is Vegas bombs.
I had one of those with you on your birthday, didn't I?
Did
you have
probably.
Some Vegas bombs there at, where were we at,
I have a Vegas bomb at most gatherings.
It's a nice, it loosens you up a little bit, just gets the juices flowing.
They're just good. I don't know. I enjoy them.
What's, is there any, what's the main recipe?
I know there's Red Bull, and
okay, yeah.
I think there's Malibu in it.
Okay.
So it's
kind of a sweetened coconutty rum, and then.
Yeah, I'm not.
Some other kind of fruit type.
Yeah, I'll look right
sweet
now.
Sweet element to it.
It looks like whiskey. This cannot be right. This says butterscotch liqueur and Red Bull.
Oh, there are probably different versions of it.
Yeah. I don't know. It's something. It's just good. That's all I know.
Yeah. It's got. It's.
Oh,
got
I think it's. It might. It looks
too.
Like it's whiskey schnapps and energy drink.
Oh, okay. It's a schnapps. Like the, is it the, like the minty type schnapps, like your
or not like
mint?
fruity schnapps.
Oh, okay.
Like peach schnapps.
Peach schnapps was a favorite when I was your age. We'd get some bottles of that.
Yeah, I like it in Vegas.
We usually mixed it up though. Should I go IPA of all time? And I know it's not everyone's because everyone has their finds. And over the last number of years, I drank enough for about three lifetimes. Including Busch Light travels with adult beverages, but you can't go wrong with anything by Stone, I believe, out of San Diego. It became available in Iowa a few years ago, maybe up to five or six, I'm not sure. There's a particular type that they've done that I enjoy when I do drink beer, and that is a delicious IPA, and it's got all the IPA elements, extremely hoppy, kind of a citrusy, you know, and not so much a sweetness, but just a really bright taste, and enough alcohol that you really know that you're drinking an IPA. So I put in a plug for the Stone Delicious IPA.
My number two is Whiskey Coke.
Nice classic there.
Yeah. It's just, doesn't matter what kind of whiskey.
Do you go 50-50?
Yeah.
You just kind of eyeball it?
Yeah. I just do it. Usually like two shots, and then I just fill the cup with
any type of whiskey, type of whiskey or bourbon, or is there a, you know, you could probably do Scotch and Coke, and maybe you wouldn't mind Scotch so much.
I don't know, man. I like Jack. I'll do Beam and Coke.
Mm-hmm.
If I was making it here, I'd buy a bottle of Jim Beam and Coke, and then do Coke. Yeah, but I don't know. At the bar, I just get the well whiskey, so it's just cheap.
Yeah, and I mean it's
Hawkeye whiskey.
Boy, that's quite a distillery they've got going over there. Hawkeye, don't they distill just about everything?
Yeah, they make the worst vodka you can ever buy.
Another staple of the college student. I mean, most that's definitely been around for, I mean, I can remember picking up bottles of Hawkeye.
Yeah.
You'd mix it up into something we'd call jungle juice, or that was usually an Everclear type of affair.
Yeah. I don't have anything else to say about that.
just some nasty stuff. No offense, fine folks at Hawkeye. My number one, as you know, would be Scotch. I'm a big fan of Glenfiddich, although I like a lot of, there's so many different small ones that have made their way to the U.S. And, you know, Glenlivet's okay. I never pronounce it correct. Lafroig. That's a good one. I mean, there's so many excellent. And there are some that I have tried, but I don't remember what they are. I mean, just a good, well-aged Scotch by people who know what they're doing is fantastic, just on the rocks. And I'd also go blends, a good Johnny Walker blend, or Jameson does a good blend. It's not aged per se, but just they blend different types of Scotch together and make a really nice smoky flavor. I'm a big fan of that, which you're not.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm anxiously awaiting your number one.
Was there ever any doubt? Of course.
You should have music for it.
Number one is Busch Light. There's never any doubt.
Is it the easy drinking?
Yeah, that's what I was actually going to say. The easiest drinking beer on the market. That's all there is to it.
Suitable for any occasion?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, any celebratory occasion.
It's because when I was younger, I didn't really like beer. And then I started to drink Busch Light. And then I started to like beer.
Mm.
And now I'm just attached to it.
You're talking like when you were 12 or?
No.
A little you just said when you were younger and you're 21 now. You know?
Well, I'm saying
like when I say when I was younger.
I mean, I'm not going to say that I ever drank before I turned 21. I mean, when I first turned 21.
First, boom, that night, some yahoo like me probably dropped some IPA in front of you. Like, oh, I don't like that. And then probably Chris Williams.
At El Bait Shop, remember?
Yeah. It's outstanding.
Yeah.
Probably maybe Chris Williams plopped one down in front of you and said.
No, he didn't go. He wasn't there.
That's true.
It was you and me and Tommy.
Tommy
Birch
up.
And Dave Sproul.
Bunch of your buddies.
Yeah, and my two of my pals. Three pals.
Dave, was it, who were the other media members? Me and Dave.
And Tommy.
And Tommy, yeah.
And that was it, I think.
Tommy's always good. Such a convivial fellow.
What does that mean?
Just, you know, he's kind of a, he's just a lot of fun.
Oh, definitely,
to be hanging out with when you're doing that kind of stuff.
Definitely. Tommy's the best. Indeed. Have you had a beer with him at Good Sons before?
I have.
Yeah, Good Sons is a nice place.
It is. Very nice. I've heard they've got excellent pizza as well.
I don't know. I think I had a Miller Lite there.
Did they not? They didn't have Busch Light, did
not
they?
Not that I, yeah, I don't think so.
They ought to allow any establishment that doesn't serve Busch Light ought to allow you to bring your own in.
I think like Tommy bought it for me, so
some restaurants will allow you to bring in your own wine with their fine meals.
Uh-huh.
You could just okay, we don't have Busch Light, but you can bring your own. as long as you're buying, you know, if you have with your meal.
Yeah,
with your meal. But good lists.
We want to hear
very different.
Yeah, we want to hear everybody else's lists. Hit us up on Twitter. If you have an idea for a top five we can do, send us that too. We're always looking for ideas. We need to think of some more ideas.
Indeed.
We need to.
Indeed. And I know Lindgren, I believe, gave us an idea. I didn't really want to go down this road immediately, but I think we will. We'll obviously hit it up. Lindgren's a good friend of Cyclone Fanatic for sure. Top five, you know, kind of like bad case scenario situations that really hurt Iowa State in a certain situation.
Okay.
And I didn't really I guess I'm feeling I just didn't want to go into to the downer one. I think we should balance that within like a top five good things that happened that carried things away. But it's a good question because there have been so many. I mean, uh-huh. There's a reason why the nut cup jokes and you know, get these things. It's been an embattled fan base in a lot of ways. So we'll get to that, but a lot of them came to mind, and he had a couple suggestions. You know, injuries are an obvious one that you think of. So we'll get to that, but yeah, we're eager to explore any others, and we'll you know, certainly within reason and within the, you know, we're pretty relaxed with our language and uh-huh. everything, but you know, as long as they're not inappropriate, we'll definitely tackle them.
Are you ready for your Clarinda excursion?
I am. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. It's going to be a great time.
You've got some great there's a lot of great history in Clarinda.
You're going to be the guy going to the museum, aren't you?
Well, I mean,
Adam Gray and I are going to play basketball.
You've got that house, one of the guys there, there's some historic house. And I don't know what his job was or what he did, but Theodore Roosevelt when he was president visited that house.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a rock outside.
And you've got the
Clarinda. One of my friends lives right next door.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. And, I mean, there are a few other things that I was reading about. You know, when you get older, you like to know a little bit of the history around around places.
You're going to go to the Glenn Miller Clarinda. Museum, aren't you?
Probably not. Although he was like Justin Bieber of the time. He was American's band leader.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't know any of this other stuff. It was just, you know, it was that stuff. Died under mysterious circumstances.
Yeah.
Went down playing. You know, we knew he was serving with the military.
He didn't live in Clarinda very long.
Really?
Yeah.
Was he like Johnny Carson in Corning?
Yeah, probably.
Like
Johnny Carson was the, gave a lot of money for some stuff in Clarinda. The library and the lead center, the rec center.
I believe he did in Corning as well. Spent most of his life growing up in Nebraska, uh-huh. I think near Omaha. He's a guy that I remember growing up that people can still enjoy. If you ever want, if you have your antenna out, pull out your 13/3 on digital TV. Late at night, they show old Johnny Carson's. Some of the stars that are on, and they're bombed.
Uh-huh.
It's hilarious. You know, they're all drinking, they're all smoking, and they're talking. It's fantastic. Just
better than Howard Cosell Battle of the Network Stars.
It would be a good drinking game. Yeah. And the music acts that come up, you know, you'll be like, whoa. And the way they're dressing, you know, because a lot of it's, you know, he was on for a long time.
Uh-huh.
I think he actually was on until the very late 80s. But there's some great comedians on, and they mix it up a little bit. So sorry for the Johnny Carson.
And Clarinda history update.
Yeah, but there will be Busch Light. Maybe I'll bring some scotch. But don't worry, it won't be like a graduation present. It'll be for personal use only.
And you'll be there to cheer me on against Adam Gray.
You're really going to do it?
Yeah, we're going to do it. It's going to happen.
I don't think he scores.
No, he's not going to.
I mean, are you playing to 11?
I don't know. I feel like he doesn't have the stamina to play too far.
That's my guess. And we kid Adam because we love Adam. You know, that's
no, I'm not kidding.
Okay. Well, I mean, but I mean, we, you know, because he likes to give people a hard time.
Right.
So I feel like I should occasionally return the favor to him. He's in like Napa Valley wine country right now.
Yeah, he is.
It's a fantastic trip. He's going to come back with a lot of great memories until
that, he gets beat.
until the beatdown on the court. Where's the court going to be?
At the Lead Center in Clarinda.
All right. So in some far away and oblique sense, Johnny Carson will have played a role in Adam Gray's great humiliation. Talk about spanning generations.
There you go.
That's fantastic.
All right, you got anything else to add?
I don't. I just appreciate everybody listening and appreciate the top five lists. And perform as concrete. That's where it's at as well. Let's get together next week.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks for listening, guys.